Afghanistan's new government is calling for billions of dollars to help rebuild that country. Secretary of State Colin Powell will represent the U.S. at a donors' conference in Tokyo next week. He promises the U.S. contribution will be significant, but Washington wants to see U.S. allies take the lead in the rebuilding efforts. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
The challenges are daunting, rebuilding infrastructure in a country that's been at war for more than two decades, clearing away landmines and poppy fields, restoring a banking system, and developing agriculture in regions devastated by drought. The head of the United Nations Development Program, Mark Malik Brown, says donors must add to that list the simple cost of running the country.
We're really having to pay all the bills of the new government of Afghanistan for the next couple of years, as it's very unlikely to have any revenue source of its own. So in addition to support for rebuilding the country, we're going to have to meet the day-to-day costs as well as the government. And this is a prospective bill for the international community, which is rather greater than they'd expected.
The UN Development Program puts the bill at $15 billion over the next decade. The initial U.S. commitment is expected to be in the hundreds of millions of dollars. The Bush administration argues it has paid for the military campaign and humanitarian efforts up to now, so the burden should be on others. Nevertheless, Malik Brown expects a generous U.S. offering.
The U.S. did carry the lion's share of the coalition efforts, but, you know, that's the price of being a superpower. Everybody looks to you every time to be a leader, and I think it's very appropriate, given the U.S. campaign, which began with the military elimination of al-Qaeda, that the momentum continues through building the peace.
Raising pledges is just the first step. One U.S. expert on Afghanistan, Barnett Rubin, who helped form the new administration in Kabul, wants to see donors better coordinate their efforts. He says the interim authorities in Afghanistan would prefer to deal with a single reconstruction fund rather than work separately with donor countries and non-governmental organizations or NGOs.
They don't even have basic office equipment or communications equipment. They don't staff, and they can't pay the salaries of people working for them. You know, they're not going to be able to deal with 15 or 20 different donor countries, 10, 15 different UN agencies, and 5,000 NGOs.
He warns if aid agencies and NGOs bypass the central government, they may end up dealing directly with local warlords and ultimately undermining the government they're supposed to be helping. It is likely to be messy, according to Mark Bartolini of the International Rescue Committee, an NGO that has been working in Afghanistan.
When there's this much money on the table, you're going to see a lot of actors arriving in Afghanistan. Coordination, again, is really the key. Coordination and goodwill on the part of those organizations that are coming to help the Afghan people.
Security, he adds, is also crucial. At the Tokyo Donors Conference, a State Department envoy for Afghanistan, James Dobbins, plans to co-chair a side meeting on security to raise money for a police force and justice system. Dobbins says the United States also supports the idea of having the international peacekeeping force expand beyond Kabul.
The population of the country is intensely war-weary, and this comes through in every conversation, in the request of, from virtually every segment of society for international forces to be stationed in the country, including military commanders. It's not that they want to go to war, it's that they don't trust themselves not to.
There is another way the United States is trying to bolster the new Afghan administration, by freeing up bank accounts, gold reserves, and other Afghan assets that had been frozen when the Taliban was in power. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.